looks to get rid of it and finds George, who drives from the top, gets into the lane, and he laid it in with a right hand as he tumbled to the floor, fouled on the play, and he's got a chance for a three-point look.
Hello and welcome into a playoff edition of the Sideline Guys podcast. Sounds good to be saying those words. We weren't sure if we would get to this point. Certainly hopeful that we would. I'm Pat Boylan, as always, alongside Jeremiah Johnson. The Pacers get into the playoffs with a win against Atlanta on Wednesday night, a game they needed to win. We most recently had an emergency impromptu, if you will, podcast talking about that game against Atlanta, the Pacers' playoff odds, what needed to happen, all the potential possibilities. And those scenarios are very clear now. It's Indiana as the 7th seed, the defending champion, Cleveland as the 2 seed. We will discuss that matchup at length throughout the podcast here. Jeremiah, let's first go backward, though, a game that Indiana certainly had to have, the literal definition of a must-win, as it turned out against Atlanta, who was resting key players. But ultimately, Indiana, after a slightly shaky start, got in control and took care of business.
I had mixed emotions, Pat, on Tuesday watching and listening to the Hawks and Hornets. Who did I want to win? Because you obviously would like the Pacers to try to get the best seed possible. But realistically, it was best for the Pacers if Atlanta would lose and then not need to win that game on Wednesday on the second half of their back-to-back. And that is exactly what happened. Then I was waiting to determine or to hear who would be resting from the Hawks. And the one player that I was most concerned with was Tim Hardaway Jr., because he was the one guy that played at Cleveland last Friday when they rested most of their other starters. And he's phenomenal. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is having a fantastic season. He's going to make a lot of money this offseason. So when he was not available, along with Dwight Howard, who's given Miles Turner problems at times this season, I was pretty confident. That said, it was still a little bit of an uneasy atmosphere inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse at times. And I think one of the observations that best describes that feeling was at halftime during my walk-off interview with Miles Turner. You know, you and I know Miles is normally a pretty good interview. He's also someone that's generally a nice guy. Sometimes after losses, he's not the best interview. And then I've noticed lately, though, sometimes during the game, he's pretty dialed in and focused, and he's not really much in the mood to talking. And this would be that times 10, because I had a couple questions for him, as I usually do, and I totally respect that. He just did not really feel like saying too much because he was so focused. As he said it after the game, it was all about being focused. But Bill Baino said to start the third quarter, he thought the guys were a little bit tense, and that's exactly what I thought about them watching them. I thought they played hard early on. They maybe weren't playing well, and they picked up their effort even more in the third quarter, while they at times late in the third quarter maybe weren't playing well. But in the time that the Pacers needed it most, Paul George stepped up like he has done so many times in these games since the All-Star break and really during this five-game winning streak. And basically, as I summed it up after the game, the Pacers had Paul George, Atlanta did not, and that made sure that the Pacers won that game.
It's wild to think back to when Indiana lost to Cleveland at the beginning of the month. Had you known then that the Pacers were going to have to win five in a row to make the playoffs, that task would have seemed extremely daunting. The Pacers were coming off, I think, four straight losses, and, you know, they were struggling. I was optimistic the whole time. The schedule was getting easier. They were coming home. The addition of Lance Stephenson, while we didn't fully understand what his impact might be, plus the fact that Miami had such a tough schedule down the stretch, I figured they lose a couple games, and I think they only lost one, and the Pacers end up having to win their final five games to get in. It's something that Indiana did, and currently riding a five-game win streak. Only the Clippers have a longer win streak headed into the playoffs. The Pacers with the longest win streak headed into the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Of course, some of that is a little bit jaded because Cleveland, a lot of these teams, Toronto, Washington, were resting late down the stretch into seasons. And the Pacers now will face the Cavaliers, who have had kind of an interesting season. They've been resting of late, lost four in a row, certainly didn't have that playoff drive necessary late in the season because those games clearly to them, being the one seed, wasn't of utmost importance. But I guess your initial reactions here to playing the Cavs?
Well, obviously, Cleveland, of the top four seeds in the Eastern Conference, maybe, you know, playing most, you know, the worst of the four. And we discussed last week or earlier this week who would be the preferred matchup for the Pacers. I still don't think the Cavs would be the team that you would like to play, given all the success that LeBron James has had in the Eastern Conference, especially in the first round. But that's a team that's confidence could be shaken just a little bit. Their record since March 1st is not good. They're a team that has just been struggling. Every time they have a good game, they have a poor performance. And I think the Pacers are in a position, as you said, with the momentum that they have to go in and make some noise in this series. I don't know too many people that will pick the Pacers to win this series, but if the Pacers go in and get a game in Cleveland among those first two and come back to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, I like the Pacers' chances at home, as I've said throughout this year, against pretty much anybody. And I think they've shown that as at home, they're one of the best teams in the NBA. They have so much confidence, and you have to even magnify that just a little bit with the confidence they have in the last 2 weeks. And then you have the Lance Stephenson effect. So there are so many unique storylines. This is a high-profile series. Any series involving LeBron James will be. But it's one I'm really looking forward to covering and seeing firsthand. And I just can't wait to see what happens and to see if that momentum can carry over. But, Pat, it's always great to be in the playoffs. And there were so many moments over the last month where you weren't so sure. And even after that double overtime loss to Cleveland, I'll admit I wasn't that optimistic. I didn't even think they needed to win five, and I wasn't that optimistic. I thought four would be enough, and I still sometimes wondered if this team had four out of five in them. I'm glad they proved me wrong, but as I saw them play against Toronto and Milwaukee, I started to believe, because in those games, different things happened that I had not seen up to that point this season. And if they can just carry that over into this series, I like their chances to make this thing interesting for sure.
From time to time throughout this podcast, we like to get a third person's perspective. Most recently, that was Chris Denari, and I think we have a third voice for this one as well. Am I correct?
That's right. Expert from Union Elementary in Zionsville would be Preston Johnson. I guess I won't call him an expert, but he tells me everything that he knows about the NBA, and occasionally I fill in some of our viewers on Pacers Live pregame with some tidbits that Preston has learned. And Preston, what's your thought? What are your thoughts watching this team over the last week, and what have you noticed from the Pacers?
Okay.
What are some of the best things that you think you've seen from them?
Lance Stephenson.
What's Lance been providing?
Like passing the ball and shooting shots that are like wide open.
I think he's getting his teammates involved pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Preston likes the rest of the NBA as well. So as you think about the Western Conference playoffs before we get back to Pacers and Cavs, tell me how you think that's going to end up.
I think the Warriors and the Spurs are going to face in the Western Conference Finals. And then the Spurs are going to win in Game 7.
Ooh, Spurs over Warriors. Mm-hmm. What about that series with James Harden and Russell Westbrook? A lot of people are going to be watching that one. How do you
Westbrook.
Think that? Oh, you didn't even flinch.
Westbrook.
You think the Thunder are going to beat the Rockets?
Yeah.
Pat, what do you think about that?
That's a good question. I think I'm taking the Rockets. I like home court, but I think that might be the most interesting first-round playoff series because you've got probably what's going to be 1 and 2 in the MVP vote. So it's sounding like, Preston, you're saying if you had a vote, you would go Westbrook.
Mm-hmm. Because he has more – he broke the record and is probably going to win MVP this season.
So you're thinking MVP for Westbrook over Harden or Kawhi or LeBron?
Over all three.
Yeah. All right, back to the Eastern Conference. Anything about the other series? How about Celtics-Bulls? What are you thinking?
Celtics sweep Why? The Bulls.
Oh, sweep? Not impressed with Chicago. What impresses you about Boston?
That Brad Stevenson used to be Butler's coach, and now he's in the NBA and led them to the Eastern Conference Championship, I think.
Well, he hasn't yet, but you're thinking maybe will this year. They're the number one seed.
Yeah, actually, I think the Pacers are, but they got number one seed, which is, and they beat LeBron and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, so the Boston's the number one seed, but you're pretty clear. You think the Pacers are going to win the East in the playoffs?
In the finals.
Oh, they're going to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Don't undersell them, Dad.
What makes you have so much confidence?
Jeff Teague is passing. Paul George does dunks. Miles Turner does blocks. Glenn Robinson III does dunks. Paul George shoots three-pointers.
Going to need some defense, too.
And Lance Stephenson and Paul George are both good at steals. Jeff Teague's good at steals. Jeff Teague's good at alley-oops. Jeff Teague's good at almost everything except for dunks. And then Paul George is basically the same thing.
All right, well, there you have it. Anything else you'd like to add about what's been your favorite part about watching this team this season?
That they, like, don't give up and they try to win the games. Like, they never feel overconfident. And, like, I think the Cavs are going to get swept by the Pacers.
Oh, really? Okay, let's just make the record. For the record, that is Preston, who's not an employee of the Pacers. We don't need any bulletin board material from the Hawks saying that somebody from the Pacers thought they would sweep the Hawks, because Damian Lillard, he said that the Blazers would beat the Warriors in six games, but he was sort of asked a question and like that. So,
I think that's pretty good analysis. Preston, how old are you again?
What?
He said, how old are you?
Eight.
That's, I think, pretty good analysis for anyone, let alone, do you want to follow in Dad's footsteps? You want to be in broadcasting? Or I guess at eight, you don't have to really.
Who's your favorite Fox Sports Indiana personality? Chris Denary, Quinn Buckner, Jeremiah Johnson, Eddie Gill, or Pat Boylan?
Eddie Gill.
We both get spurned.
Hey, you know I'm in charge of ordering the pizza tonight.
Okay. Papa John's!
I guess
we're taking the Papa John's special tonight because the Pacers won and scored 90 points. So
hey, there you go.
We're taking advantage of that. But if you don't change your vote, I may not get the cookie pizza.
Okay, you're my Johnny.
I tell you what, you hold on. You got an 8-year-old giving good analysis that can plug our sponsors. You better be careful. He's going to be coming for your job here, I think, soon.
Yeah. Well, he as long as he's still under my household, I'll take checks that go to him just fine. All right, well, Preston's going to go shoot some baskets, do his best Pacers impersonation, and we'll finish the podcast.
Go Jeff Teague.
Hey, always good to have a third voice here on the I'm sure our listeners from time to time appreciate hearing from different people as we can bring them in. And we've got a group chat, you know, between you and me and Chris and our producers, Ken and Max. And from time to time, you will update us on Preston's thoughts. And it really is impressive for an 8-year-old how coherent he is. You heard him breaking down all of the Pacers' strengths and weaknesses. And even a plug for our sponsor there at the end.
Yeah. And, you know, I tell you what, NBA TV is on in our household every morning. So the first thing he does when he gets up is he watches NBA TV. And some have said that the highlight shows are, you know, no one watches those anymore. There's some value for those shows in our house because Preston, when he gets up in the morning, he's watching them. And that's how he catches up on everything that happens. And if you think about someone in the Eastern time zone, if you're a fan of the Western Conference teams, you can't stay up late and watch all those games. But at least with the highlights, you can go back and see what happens. And I guess many of the times you can watch them on YouTube as well. But I think for the younger generation, I'm also pleased about this series in that of the first four games, two of them are afternoon games and afternoon playoff games. You know, when I was growing up, those are just some of the games I remembered were watching some of the Pacers-Knicks games and some of the different playoffs games and the ones that were in the afternoon. And I think it'll be good for the kids. And you've got a afternoon game even at Bankers Life Fieldhouse a week from Sunday that I know everyone's looking forward to. It'll be fascinating to see where the series is at that point when it is time for game four, because three very important games before that, but a couple of 7 o'clock tips as well. So I think it'll be a good family-friendly series and one that I think everyone will remember, and glad we could have Preston participate into the podcast. Hopefully you all enjoyed that as well. But Pat, I'm curious, as you look ahead to Cleveland, you know, you watch a lot of League Pass. Do you see their current situation as one where they're a team full of weaknesses, or do you think they can easily flip the switch?
Well, I think you would rather play Cleveland in this scenario that they're in than if they had won 10 straight or something going into the playoffs. But I do think that they have proven, at least LeBron James teams have proven, that there is a flip-the-switch element that they are capable of doing. If you're Indiana, you certainly like the fact that you're going in hot and that Cleveland isn't, and we'll see how much of a factor that plays in. You know, one thing, and this is just the reality of playing a LeBron James team in the first round, you go back his last 8 seasons. First of all, he's never lost in the first round. This is just, you know, kind of tell you what the Pacers are going to try to overcome here. He's never lost in the first round, and he's 32 and 3 in his last 8 first rounds combined. So the Pacers are going to have to figure something out that those other teams haven't. And in fairness, the Pacers might have a player that is better than any of those teams had, and especially at a position where he can be on LeBron James. They can guard each other, perhaps try to cancel him out as much as possible. You know, the odds are certainly long here, and Cleveland is the home team, and the Pacers are the 7th seed, and that usually is the case when a 2-7 goes up, and Cleveland has other good players as well, obviously. Besides James, they're the defending champions for a reason. But we heard Paul say after the game, you know, he looks forward to playing LeBron more than any player in the NBA. And I think for the Pacers, for Paul George, for LeBron, you know, maybe not the ideal scenario to play Cleveland round one, but what better way to see here how this version with Lance Stephenson playing better, rebounding better, stacks up against top-level competition. So I'm excited for the playoffs. I'm glad, you know, that this moment is here because it at times has been a trying season, a grinded-out type of season, a season where the ups were meant by downs. And to end the year on an up, to end the year in the playoffs, you know, I'm really looking forward to being able to continue our jobs at least to an extent here over hopefully many more weeks to come, but at least just to have this couple extra week stretch at a bare minimum is really a blessing.
And the Pacers are blessed. I mean, everyone will look to Cleveland and say, you know, think of all the playoff experience they have just by winning the championship last year. But the Pacers have a number of guys who have been there and done that in the playoffs, maybe not at the championship level. But think about a guy like Jeff Teague. He's never not been in the playoffs. Atlanta's been in the playoffs now, right, 10 straight seasons. And so all of Jeff Teague's seasons were playoff seasons. Paul George, 6 of his 7. CJ Miles has some playoff experience dating back to his days in Utah. And then, obviously, last year with the Pacers, Thaddeus Young had, you know, I thought about Thaddeus Young a couple of weeks ago as someone who would be so desperate to get in the postseason because I thought, oh, he's played for Brooklyn and he played for the Sixers and he, you know, of course, hadn't had that much experience. But then I really looked and, of course, a couple of years ago, you think of Brooklyn's being a team that has been bad for so long, they got that 8th seed instead of the Pacers in 2015. And when he was with the Sixers for a few of those years, they were a playoff team as well. So Thad's got some playoff experience. Miles will grow from his experience last year against Toronto. And Lance was with Paul in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think the Pacers are in a good position. Nate McMillan and that coaching staff, they also have that experience and they have the confidence. I think it'll be interesting to see the momentum. And in football, so many times you think about the team that earns the wild card maybe berth on the final week of the season and the team that rests or sits players out sometimes is a little rusty. I wonder if there will be any carryover in a similar way in game one. And I think we've seen it at times in the NBA with the Pacers. They had to fight to get in. They've won 5 in a row. They've played Wednesday night with all their players. They'll have to play Saturday afternoon. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving will have not played in 6 days. Now, that's not a long break. And I know Kyrie Irving probably needed the rest because they said his knee was not 100%. But it'll be, you can't just automatically think you're going to go out there and be sharp. There might be a little bit of rust. And in that case, I think it's important for the Pacers to get off to a good start. That said, I do think the guys are probably a little tired. They've had to expend a lot of energy over the last couple weeks to get into the playoffs. I asked Paul George last night after the game, after the fan appreciation night, after all the festivities had ended, how he was feeling. And you could tell he's a little bit worn out, but that's Wednesday night. And between Thursday and today, the Pacers, you know, they had the day off, no practice. I talked with Dan Burke, and he said, you know, we were going to have them in to watch film, but they just needed to get away. So they'll be, you know, getting off their feet on Thursday. They'll come in, they will watch film, they'll have practice on Friday, and they'll go to Cleveland. It'll be a pretty much a normal trip. It'll feel like a normal trip to start with because it'll be an afternoon flight. You'll arrive into town. You'll get something to eat, you'll get some sleep, and you'll get up and you'll play that game. There will be no time for shoot around. It'll be a 3 o'clock start. But over the years, there have not been too many afternoon games, I think, in the last 2 or 3 years. But while I haven't looked up all of the stats, I think the Pacers have played pretty well in those afternoon situations the last few seasons. And of course, they started the playoffs very well last year in Toronto, playing that 1 o'clock Saturday game and getting a win in Toronto. So a number of reasons to be confident. The Pacers will win some games in this series and be competitive. It will be difficult to win the series, but it is possible.
And I've had this question a lot, so I'm going to hit on it a couple times throughout the podcast. How do I get tickets? Well, the way that it is working is you can go right now to pacers.com/playoffs. And what that will allow you to do is get on a list that will allow you to purchase tickets 2 hours before the general public gets to purchase tickets. And you don't have to do anything. There's no money involved, no anything like that. You just have to give your email and some information about you so that way you're able to sign up and get through quickly. And then on Friday, you will get access to playoff tickets 2 hours early. It's a fantastic deal that they do over at pacers.com/playoffs. That's how you can be here for game three and four and six if necessary. As we continue to look into this playoff series, I want to move into our pick three. And I think it's obvious in this series that LeBron James and Paul George are each team's most important player and probably the most important players to determine how this series plays out. So I want to take them off the table because I think they're obvious. And after those guys, whether it's Pacers players or whether it's Cavaliers players, I want to pick three potential players that might have a big impact on this series. Not necessarily saying guys who are unheralded that might have a big impact. Just three guys that stick out that might have a significant impact on how this series goes. And I'll start us off first with Kyle Korver. We've seen Korver so many times in the playoffs because the Pacers were playing Atlanta back a few years back. So they've seen Korver maybe more than any team has seen Korver as of the general time frame of 2010 and on. So they've seen plenty of him and have gotten opportunities to learn how to try to defend him. But Korver in the regular season against Indiana, 14 for 17 from the three-point line. It goes without saying that cannot happen. And you've got so many weapons on Cleveland. James, Irving, Love. Thompson's not a guy you put a lot of defensive focus on, but he's obviously very good. Deron Williams is a good second option. They've got so many guys that are going to command the defense that you've got to keep the guys, I think, like Kyle Korver, like J.R. Smith, like Iman Shumpert, from really hurting you in positions where they're not going to see quite as much coverage because of the guys that are around them. So for me, my first pick of this is going to be Kyle Korver and Indiana defending that three-point line specifically because James and Irving and even Love, they're such good drivers into the lane that force double teams. And sticking on the perimeter and guarding the three-point line well, to me, it might be the biggest factor of this whole series, and there's nobody that shoots it better from out there for Cleveland than Korver.
It's funny, when you said the description of what the pick three would be and the X-factor type of players, Kyle Korver is basically the first person that I thought of. So we're on the same page with that. I think that Kyle Korver will be featured prominently in the scouting report, but at the same time, you can't, not like you can double-team him or at least focus so much of your attention on him when he's on the floor with players like Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. I'm going to go with Jeff Teague, maybe partially convinced by my son, but as I think about this series, the Pacers are an underdog in the team matchup. Obviously, it's a 7-2. It's the defending NBA champions. The Pacers were 42-40, and they were, you know, at times this season unable to show a lot of consistency, and they've struggled on the road where they will have to at least win once in this series. But I think there's also a similar sort of underdog, it's possible, but maybe not probable matchup in that Kyrie Irving, Jeff Teague matchup. I think Jeff Teague has shown throughout the course of this season he can step up to the challenge against really elite point guards. I mean, if you're making a list of the top point guards in the NBA, Jeff Teague might not be in the top 10. Maybe he's between 10 and 15. I think he's an upper half point guard. This is a time in an era in the NBA when there are so many elite point guards, and Kyrie Irving is one of those. But if the individual matchup, and I'm not just saying if Jeff Teague has more points than Kyrie Irving, even though that would be saying something, but if the individual matchup, if you watch a game and you feel like maybe Jeff Teague was the better player than Kyrie Irving, then I think the Pacers are going to have a very good chance to win those particular games. And I think back to the game a couple of weeks ago when the Cavaliers won in double overtime, I remember thinking late second quarter, Jeff Teague is having, you know, just a really difficult game. He just was not playing well in that game. And after halftime, he really turned it on and was a big reason the Pacers were able to get back into that game, overcome that deficit. Obviously, it was the Paul George show in overtime. But Jeff Teague was a big factor in the second half. And so many times this season when the Pacers win and play well, it's their big three. It's Paul George, Miles Turner, and it's Jeff Teague. And defensively, he's going to have a big issue keeping Kyrie Irving out of the paint. But I think he's capable. And I think if Jeff Teague has a good series, the Pacers have a chance to take this thing to seven and who knows, maybe win it.
All right, so for the third one, we usually come together, and we didn't necessarily talk about this before. I'm not sure if he would be the next name that comes to your mind, but I'm guessing he would come fairly early if you were to continue this list down the line. So as leader of this, I guess I'm
just
going to
take command.
Let me see
if I can send a subliminal message to you of who that fits the description of maybe not the third pick, but the person that I may be most interested in talking about.
I'm going to go with Miles Turner, and I know he's young, and I know they don't necessarily rely on Miles yet, but I think he could be that kind of X-factor guy for many reasons. First of all, we know the Pacers aren't a great rebounding team, and we also know that typically they have to rebound well enough to win games, and that first and foremost goes on the Pacers' just newly turned 21-year-old, which can be very difficult at times. And the Cavs have Tristan Thompson down there who gobbles up rebounds. So from a rebounding perspective, I think he's big. But he's a player where, you know, we feel pretty confident that he's going to be a really good pro and that he's already a good pro, but still not totally sure how high his ceiling is. And he's one of those guys, you know what Jeff Teague is, you know what Paul George is, you know what most of the players are. And look, we've had 2 years of Miles Turner. We're not saying that he is some unknown factor. We know he's been very good through two seasons in the NBA. But he's the kind of guy, I think, that might not get a ton of attention, but could have a really big series and could be someone that could turn the tide a little bit. I'd be curious if you are on any similar sort of wavelength as it relates to him.
Yeah, he was the obvious third choice, I think, to me. And because I thought of this team as the Pacers were putting it together in the offseason, and obviously I thought it would finish a little bit better than they have. But Miles Turner was the person that I thought gave the Pacers maybe not an advantage, but a competitive chance against a team like Cleveland, because I thought if he takes the step forward and you look at just that matchup, Tristan Thompson against Miles Turner can do things that Cleveland has trouble defending. And so if he can get some offensive confidence and hold his own on the glass, you know, his length, his athleticism, he can do some things that I think that Cleveland will have trouble with. And I think it's been very important in the last week and a half to see Miles regain a little bit of offensive confidence, because he would be the first to tell you maybe in mid to late March, he wasn't playing well offensively and he wasn't confident with his shot. Now he's attacking the basket more and more, even though maybe some would like to see him do it even more than he is, but he's also confident with his jump shot as well. So I think Miles is a great choice. He's got to rebound, and that's one of those things that's probably maybe needs to take a big step forward next season, is to really work on his rebounding as well as some post-move type of game. But if he can keep the Cavs off the glass and bring it offensively, he's going to score more points, I'm confident, in this series than Tristan Thompson. If he can rebound as well, it'll be a good opportunity. And I'll just make the extra pick three pick, just Lance Stephenson. And I'm only saying this in that, If you stop what exactly happened at the end of the regular season, you say Lance did his job. He lit a spark in this team. He got them into the playoffs. The rest is gravy. I think that's pretty much fair from Lance's perspective. But now that he's been able to do that, I think even more is expected. And you're seeing him be a part of that closing five in games. Monte Ellis has played great, but for much of the fourth quarter, we're seeing the other four starters along with Lance Stephenson on the floor. What I'm fascinated to see is how the Cavaliers react to Lance. Now, I think Lance does everything in good fun, and we talked this week about Gerald Henderson and also PJ Tucker at times last week. I don't put Lance in that category of being an instigator, but I do think he's someone that will wake up the opponent a little bit, and I would just wonder if you don't want to wake up the Cavs too much, because it was fascinating in his first game back with the Pacers how much attention LeBron James seemed to pay to Lance Stephenson. I mean, late in that game, LeBron James is shooting two free throws, and Lance Stephenson had already gone to the bench and was basically done for the day. He was not going to come back into the game unless foul trouble put him back in the game. And during LeBron's dribbles for the free throws, he was looking over and talking to Lance. And that's probably going to be my lasting image of that game, even despite the heroics from Paul George, is that I can't believe this is happening. Lance is really back. Now, LeBron missed both of those free throws in that particular scenario that I'm remembering. That said, I think that Lance can bring out the best in people, even though he, you know, brings out the best in his own teammates as well. So I'm curious to see how the Cavs react to Lance, and I'm curious to see how Lance can bottle up all of the energy and excitement he has and to kind of keep it in the flow a little bit. You saw him, he was so excited last night, the first two shots, neither one hit the rim, but then to his credit, he quickly regained his composure, made some great passes, had that crazy tip-in shot, and then he was back in the normal flow. So I know he's going to come out in game one. He won't be sitting on the bench until he gets called in. He'll be probably standing in the tunnel. He'll be stretching. He'll be doing whatever. And when he gets in the game, I'm guessing everyone in Cleveland will start booing. If LeBron happens to still be on the floor, LeBron's going to be determined to take it at Lance. And it's just going to be fascinating theater. But he's an X factor. If Lance is good Lance, the Pacers have a good chance.
Yeah, and I think all of that is very fair. You know, sometimes he can get other guys riled up, and sometimes that makes them play worse. Sometimes it makes them play better. But you're in a series where you don't have home court advantage, and you're playing the defending champion. So I think as much as you can
I'd rather have him than not, for sure. Yeah, you know, going into this series, I have more confidence with Lance than if they wouldn't have Lance. You just hope to not poke the bear in the wrong spot.
All right, let's take a quick look around the Eastern Conference playoffs, and then we'll close maybe with a final thought on Cleveland. The 1-8 series is Boston and Chicago, and this is a series I could see going almost any direction. Sean Grandy, the radio play-by-play voice of the Celtics, had an interesting tweet, and I'm not a huge point differential guy, but the Celtics' point differential was plus 2.7, which means per game they're outscoring their opponents by slightly under 3 points per game, and that's the lowest of a one seed ever since the merger. So I think we knew Boston wasn't an overpowering one seed, despite having a very strong season and a lot of good players. Chicago, on the other hand, has a team with Dwayne Wade, who I think I saw a stat has maybe more playoff experience than the entire Celtics roster combined. We know what Jimmy Butler can do. This one at least has the potential for intrigue. Chicago's underachieved a lot of the year, but this is one of those when you put the two teams on paper, if you stick it up on a whiteboard, I think it looks a little bit closer than a typical 1-8 might typically on paper, and we'll see if Boston can do all of these little X-factor things that have gotten them well above Chicago during the regular season once the playoffs hits.
I'm going to take a big picture view of both teams over the course of this season, and I'm going to take the other viewpoint, and I'm going to say the Celtics sweep the Bulls. I think Boston is fired up. I think they're on a mission. Even though they're the number one seed, I think they might play the nobody believes in us, nobody respects us card. Those guys play with chips on their shoulders. They always think that somebody doesn't believe in them. And I don't still know if the Bulls really want to be in the playoffs. I'll give them credit for the last two wins, games against Orlando and Brooklyn, two teams that were playing awful, even though Brooklyn did beat the Bulls a week and a half ago. I'll give them credit that they put those teams away and they won convincingly. And it's a great opportunity for guys like Grant and Zipser and Bobby Portis. And Jimmy Butler, does he think this? Jimmy Butler deserves a lot of credit as well. But overall, I say the Bulls, I think the Heat would be a much better representation of an eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. And I would give the Heat a much bigger chance against Boston than I will Chicago. I'm going to say Celtics sweep that series. We move ahead to the 3-6 series. Obviously, we've talked a lot about the Pacers and Cavs as the 2-7, and 3-6 is Raptors, Toronto against Milwaukee. And this is kind of the NBA TV series because they've already given them three games, I think, of the first five as the NBA TV matchup. And I'm also going to put Toronto in the same category as Boston. I think Toronto is playing excellent. I think that they're tougher. I think that their playoff experience will help. I think Milwaukee might win one game, but I don't see that series going very long. I'd say Raptors in five.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same wavelength as you. I think Lowry coming back and getting some time before the playoffs is good. DeRozan is good. The one X factor is obviously Adetokunbo, and you could certainly make the case that Milwaukee has the best player in this series. And We saw Toronto struggle in the first round with Indiana in large part because they didn't have the best player, and the best player was Paul George, and he clearly played like it. And I think that's the one thing Milwaukee might be able to hold on to, is if Adetokounmpo plays like he's clearly the best player on the floor. I think the Bucks could make a series, but I think that is a vital requirement for Milwaukee to hang in. The 4-5 is Washington and Atlanta, and what's interesting about a 4-5 is typically, for example, you look at the 4-5 out west, the Clippers and Jazz have the exact same record. Typically, these are two teams who are very close in record, but just the way the East fell out this year, Washington was actually six games better than Atlanta. And I struggle looking at this one a little bit because I do think Washington's more talented. They've improved their depth, which was a major problem. Atlanta doesn't have anybody as dynamic as John Wall. But Washington, at least in their past, has had some stumbles in the playoffs. So I look at these two teams, and I think Washington has a significant edge, but I'm not sure the mental aspect. And as you just pointed out, Atlanta as a franchise has been in the playoffs longer than any other team consecutively in the Eastern Conference, and maybe that will play into this as well.
Yeah, I'm going to say in this series that I think that Atlanta will give the Wizards a really good series. I think their confidence gained in the last 2 weeks is going to be something that can carry them over into the playoffs. And I think Washington, of the top four teams, is probably the team that if the Pacers could have picked an opponent, I probably would have picked, just because I think that, they haven't done it in the playoffs. They don't have as many players, despite Beal and Wall, that I'm scared of. So I think this is a seven-game series, and I'll go with the home team winning. So I'll go with Wizards winning in seven against Atlanta.
All right, so just some programming notes for you coming up. We will have Pacers Weekly on Saturday morning. You'll hear Jeremiah Johnson there, and then, of course, the broadcast. The game will begin at 3. We'll get into what you're doing in just a moment. Again, one final reminder is Pacers.com/playoffs. If you're listening to this before Friday late afternoon, you can go there and you can get VIP access to pre-sale tickets before they go on sale to the general public. It's a slam dunk. Make sure you head there to get tickets. That obviously for game 3 and 4 when Cleveland returns here, and then a potential game 6 if necessary. So obviously, Jeremiah, when we get to the playoffs here, things change a little bit from your perspective. So what can the fans expect from Fox Sports Indiana's coverage? Pacers and Cavs, by the way, are game 1 of the playoffs Saturday at 3 o'clock.
So with the games being on ABC, as you referenced, and then the others being national television, at this point, doesn't look like Fox Sports Indiana will have the full game coverage, but every single Pacers playoff game will be featured on Fox Sports Indiana with post-game coverage. And so I'm headed to Cleveland with Ken Softman, our producer. He's going to be field producing. We've got our entire crew back in Indianapolis, and Chris Denary, Quinn Buckner, and Eddie Gill will all be in the Fox loft for the road games. And our entire production crew with Jamie Burns and Max Linewand and Marika Bajos and everyone else will be back in Indianapolis. So they will host the show from Indianapolis. They will show highlights. They will discuss key storylines. You'll get Eddie's thoughts. You'll get Quinn's thoughts. And then I will be in Cleveland, and I will be, you know, borrowing radio analyst Austin Crozier to get some additional comments from Cleveland. Then I'll be going inside the locker room and talking to the players. So once again, after every Pacers-Cavs game, you want to try to, if you're watching the game at home or on television, try to flip it to Fox Sports Indiana or even Fox Sports Go and check out what we've got for post-game coverage, usually 30 to 45 minutes worth of post-game coverage of every Pacers playoff game, and we're looking forward to it.
So a reminder, we will have the radio pregame coverage. That'll start at 2:30 on Saturday, 107.5, 1070, locally here in Indianapolis across the Bankers Life Radio Network. And Pacers Weekly as well will be Saturday morning at its normal time of 10 o'clock. So if you'd like to catch some local pregame coverage, we would love to have you on the radio side. If you're out on the car, we, of course, will have the game as well. And then postgame, make sure you turn over to Fox Sports Indiana to get your local coverage with Jeremiah, Chris, Quinn, your normal crew that you're used to hearing out there will have the postgame coverage, as Jeremiah just alluded to, right after the game. Make sure to turn it over to Fox Sports Indiana. All right, any final thoughts here as we get ready for Game 1, Pacers and Cavs? Once again, Indiana starting off the NBA's playoff slate of games on Saturday at 3.
No, just to savor the experience. The playoffs are not something you can take for granted, and the Pacers are in. And certainly it's going to be a fun time, and I think some interesting matchups and high-profile games. And I just say, we're looking forward to it.
All right, so we will come to you hopefully early next week once games 1 and 2 are complete. We'll have another Sideline Guys podcast for you out then. For Jeremiah Johnson, I'm Pat Boylan. We'll talk to you next week on the Sideline Guys podcast.